Today's gospel lesson comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of the Lord.
Please be seated. Well, if you've ever had a toddler or been around a toddler a fair amount, you know that toddlers at some point learn a certain word, a two-letter word, and once they learn it, your life with them is different. They transform from these innocent little babies who pretty much do what you ask them to into these rebellious little people who you still love, but it's a lot harder to work with them. And you probably all know what the word is. It's no, right? At some point, little kids have the great realization that they don't really have to do what you want, and so they start trying out this word no to see what'll happen. Well, in my lesser moments when I've been a parent and my toddler's done this, sometimes I've become frustrated and impatient. Sometimes I've raised my voice and tried to force the issue and make my toddler do whatever I want, and this never works. Really, you have to be a lot more savvy than that. But sometimes when I'm grounded and when I'm remembering the deeper truths in life, I have this funny experience where my kid will be misbehaving, doing something that maybe I just told him not to do. And despite the misbehaving and despite him not doing what I want him to do, I look at him and I just think, that's my boy. You know, this is my child in whom I am well pleased, right? Even in the midst of yelling at me or looking at me and doing whatever it is that he knows I don't want him to do, I suddenly think, what a precious thing it is to be a dad. And in these moments, there's kind of like two realities going on at the same time. There's the surface reality, which is that I have a misbehaving toddler who I need to find a way to parent somehow. But then there's the deeper reality, which is maybe the more important one, where this is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased, even when they misbehave. And at the end of the day, as a parent, hopefully, I mean, the purpose is that our love trumps anything else that might be going on in our kid. Well, sometimes in faith, I think the key to understanding and following Jesus is being able to see a deeper reality that hides underneath the surface. And it may not be the most obvious thing, but a lot of times this deeper reality is the most important thing. And today we explore the Beatitudes, and I think this is one of those readings that's all about being able to search for a deeper hidden reality. The Beatitudes, they're these weird blessed are statements where Jesus describes different things that he says are blessed. So here are the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are reviled and persecuted for righteousness' sake. I think if we're going to get anything from the Beatitudes, where we have to start is the admitting that the Beatitudes are very strange, that they describe the things as blessings that we would describe as misfortune or struggle or tribulation or even a curse, right? Do we think of those who are mourning the death of a loved one as blessed people? Do the meek feel blessed in a world of competition and aggression? Do peacemakers feel blessed in these kind of futile attempts to have a world of peace when we really live in a world of violence and war? The fair response when we hear the Beatitudes from Jesus is to turn to Jesus and ask, what world are you living in, Jesus? Because it's clearly not our world, right? In our world, the poor in spirit and those who are mourning are often avoided. In our world, the meek are trampled by the strong. In our world, the persecuted seem to be among the least blessed people, not among the most. And yet here comes Jesus coming along, preaching that there's a different way of seeing the world, a different reality and a different world to live in a way, and to work towards if only we can begin to see it. Well, what's our response to people who kind of have these dreams, the dreamers of the world who say the world could be different as it is, who say that we can live in a more fulfilling, meaningful way than we do? I think a lot of times our response to dreamers is to say, don't be unrealistic. Stay grounded. Don't fall into idealism. Live in the real world, right? And all these things are code language for don't think that we can live differently. Don't think that we might be people who experience the presence of God more closely and who more embody God's love. Live in the real world where things just don't really work out. And so again, we can hear the Beatitudes and turn to Jesus and ask him, what world are you living in, Jesus? But I have a feeling if we did ask Jesus what world he's living in, he'd probably look us in the eyes and ask us a question right back, right? Jesus loved answering questions with questions. If we ask Jesus, what world are you living in? I have a feeling he'd look us in the eyes and he'd say, what world are you living in? What does our world belong to, right? What does your time belong to? What purpose do you live for? How do you see the world fundamentally? Do you see the world through the cross? Do you understand that you're someone who Christ died for? Do you remember that your neighbor, even the one who annoys you, is also someone who Jesus died for? Do you know that God has a special heart for suffering people who are struggling? And do you realize that the crucified Lord has called us, who are his followers, to live in a new world in a way, a world that's shaped by God's vision for reality and not just our own? And that's the hard thing about discipleship. We're called to live by God's vision of the world, and God sees things differently. God sees a deeper reality than we often see. Kind of like that loving parent to a toddler. He looks at our world, and it's a winner-takes-all world oftentimes. It's a world where there's suffering, and there's aggression, and injustice, and violence. And I'm sure when God looks at the world, he sees, yes, a misbehaving world. But most of all, like a loving parent, he sees his beloved children who are precious to him. And just like a parent, imagine you have more than one child, and one of them's doing okay, and the other one's crying, the other one's hurt. Who's the first child that you run to, right? Who's the child that you help? Exhibit A, right? We help the child who's crying, the child who's struggling, the child who needs our help, right? There's nothing more important in that moment than the child who's suffering. And that's how God sees it too. And I think that's what the Beatitudes are about. The Beatitudes are not about God saying that suffering is a good thing or wanting us to suffer, right? Suffering isn't great. But we're blessed in our suffering because in our moments of struggle, God is especially concerned for us. He especially loves us, and he especially wants to bless us. We're invited in the church to be a church that welcomes suffering people, a church where people who are suffering can find healing and can find love, because remember today that God is a God who wants to bless people who are struggling and lost and wayward. Maybe the other thing we're working with today is that it's All Saints Day. And of course, All Saints Day is this day when we remember that God has put people in our lives who have gone before us, who maybe have died now, but who showed us what God's love is. I think one of the neat points that our tradition, Lutheranism, wants to make about All Saints Day and about saints in general is that Luther used to say a saint isn't someone who's a really good Christian, right? Saints aren't the really talented, really faithful Christians who are totally different from us normal schmucks. A saint, according to Luther, was any follower of Christ. And he liked to say that we're simultaneously saint and sinner, that God takes people who are flawed, takes people that are broken, and yet he blesses them, he becomes part of their lives, and he uses them to show his love to the world. And we can probably remember on this day different loved ones who've gone before us. We know they're flawed, right? We know all of our loved ones weren't perfect. And yet, as people of faith, they still were able to show us what God's love is about. They still were able to embody God's love in some way that taught us who God is. And we remember today on this All Saints Day that we're also called to be saints just like them. Not perfect saints, but flawed saints who in our own way shine with the light of Christ. And so even as we give thanks for these saints who have gone before us, we remember in the Beatitudes that we have a God who wants to bless us all the time, but especially in our moments of struggle. A God who has a special heart for those people who are struggling in this world. And so on this day, may we also know the blessing that our forerunners in the faith knew, the blessing of having God open our eyes to new realities of blessing. And may we live in this world with God's eyes of love as we interact with one another and as we seek to follow Christ. Amen. As we continue, let's sing and rise.